Okay, I am super excited today because we're in John chapter 3. Yeah. Today we jump into the deep end of the Apostle John's Gospel. Even though the original writings had no chapter breaks, and we'll look at that, chapter 3 in our Bibles, it's one of the most important chapters in the Bible. The setting is Jerusalem during a week-long Passover celebration. Jesus has been performing miracles, or as John describes, signs, all week, including cleansing the temple of its corrupt business dealings. The loyal son had zealous anger for his father's house and cleared it out with a whip made out of rope. Yeah, bless you. Hey, keep it down. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, Jesus was angry, but he did not sin in his anger. He is our example, always. John does not list all the miracles Jesus performed this week, but what we can do is we can gather that information from all the other gospels, right? Like we see the other the miracles that he did throughout all the gospels combined, so that we can come to the conclusion that he healed the sick and the lame. He gave sight to the blind. He gave the deaf hearing, and he set the demonically oppressed and possessed free. So I want to backtrack a little bit to the end of chapter 2 of John. It'll give us context for today. Verse 23 through 25. Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. And again, I'll remind you, there is no chapter break. So this continues. This is John strategically puts the next account to drive home a spiritual truth that not all belief is belief unto salvation. Not all faith is saving faith. However, those who genuinely seek God shall find him. So I'm going to read you the whole text today. We're going to hopefully get through the 10 verses. I think we will. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born again when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter this kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asks. You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things?" I pray that this time together brings fresh revelation to us and a deeper understanding of what it means to be born again and salvation in Christ. So let's get started. Verse 1. Now Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. So Nicodemus was part of the Sanhedrin. He is the shot caller in the Jewish faith. He is one of the top guys of the temple. Last week I taught how, you know, Jesus cleansed the temple because of the corrupt business dealings that were going on in the temple. And Nicodemus is making money off that. He's one of them. He's literally rich. He's the religious elite. He's got status. He's worked his way up the ladder and he's made it. But we see in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus gives seven woes to the Pharisees. And I'm just going to read one of them. Verses 27 through 28. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to be, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. This is Nicodemus. He's one of these guys, but he's seeking truth. He is coming to Jesus seeking truth. Why? Because Nicodemus is like everybody else in the sense of riches can't fill the void. Status cannot fill the void. Religion can't fill the void. He's seeking what everybody desperately is seeking, and that is the peace and the joy that comes with knowing God. He's missing that. So he's seeking out, here comes this young preacher, and he's doing miracles. And when he teaches, he's teaching with authority and power like nobody's ever taught before. These rabbis would just regurgitate like their own sayings and stuff in temple. Here was this young preacher, and it's new and it's fresh and it's powerful, like he was there. Like he knows. And so this is the kind of the battle, the war that's going on with Nicodemus. In verse 2, he came to Jesus at night and he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. We see that he's acknowledging Jesus. First and foremost, first of all, he came to Jesus at night. There's a couple reasons why he probably did that. Either one, he was afraid of the other Pharisees seeing him go talk to Jesus, or two, during the day, Jesus had crowds around him, and Nicodemus wanted a private conversation with Jesus. So one of those two could be at play, both maybe. A little bit of both. You like that? Okay, we'll go with that then. Amen, sister. Nevertheless, and I'm not trying to over-spiritualize scripture, but there is a symbol here that Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the night of his soul. So all of this is relevant as he comes to Jesus, and he comes to Jesus and he calls him teacher. This guy is a teacher of Israel. He's the top dog. And he comes to Jesus It's his teacher. We know that you are a teacher who's come from God. Like, we know you're from God because nobody else could do the things that you do, say the things that you say, and God not be with him. So he's acknowledging Jesus. He's giving him actually a compliment, right? Kudos. Like, hey, you're from God. We can tell. And you know, he was probably expecting Jesus to go, well, I'm glad you noticed. Pretty cool, huh, what I did. But Jesus completely ignores the accolades. He completely goes past that and begins to speak to Nicodemus's greatest need. Jesus sees our hearts. He sees the heart of Nicodemus. And he's not interested in being praised at this point. He knows that there's a deep, deep need in this teacher's soul, in his heart. There is a need. So Jesus replies in verse 3 and says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." This, the word for "very truly" is amen, amen. He repeats himself twice, and the definition of amen is "it is and it shall be so." It is and it shall be so. It is and it shall be so. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. This is an emphatic, on purpose statement that Jesus says, take heed. This is absolute hard line truth that I'm giving you here. And that word for again, for born again, is anothen, and it means from above. Unless one is born from above, they cannot see the kingdom of God. He's drawing a line in the sand between religion and relationship. Between doing the do and just doing it for what it is, and you know, climbing up the ladder, to actually going from doing to dying and being born again. The greatest need for every human is that they be born twice. And I think that this is where and I can only really speak for the American church, is that we have so much. We're so self-sufficient. We like our things. And so for many, they're in this state of belief. I believe I threw a couple bucks in the basket, and I mean, Jesus is, he, you know, he is who he says he is, but there's no, they just love their life still. They're holding on to their life. They still love themselves more than they love God. And this is Jesus going, that ain't gonna work. Paraphrasing, obviously. That's not going to work here. There's an old phrase. It says, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. You see, for the people that were all born physically, and for the people that deny Christ, deny Jesus, I'm the captain of my own ship. I think people that need God are weak. That prideful, human, sinful nature that continue to deny Christ will end up dying again. The spiritual death. The judgment seat. The white throne judgment seat. Because one day we will all stand before God naked. None of our family will be around us. It will just be us. I want to be at the mercy seat of Christ, not the white throne judgment. Amen? So here's the cost. Because being born again and following Jesus, oh, it comes with a cost. It's your life. To die in the sense of God. My life is not my own now. I have been crucified with Christ so that I could live in you, Jesus. Now my life is not my own. Every decision I make, every word that I say, everything that I do should glorify you. It matters to me. I am your child. Something has changed. You see, Jesus is giving us a non-negotiable description of being born again. Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, prophesied about this in Ezekiel 36, 24 through 27. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land, into the kingdom. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Here is a description of what happens when one goes from being a believer who's seeking to being born again. Now listen, we're going to talk about, there is like, I say tension in the scriptures because there's two truths happening here. One, God is sovereign. The salvation of a human being is a 100% God thing. Only God can take a spiritually dead sinner and give them life. Okay, that's a truth. Absolutely. But here's another truth. Mankind is 100% responsible for our choices. There's a tension there. What do you mean? I thought God was sovereign. Yes. Yes. He is. And you know what? It's okay to not fully grasp a supernatural thing like that, but just know that that's true. That we have choices. Inside of his moral will, we have choices. You decided what to wear today. God didn't speak to you and go, wear the gray shirt, Jonesy. We have choices that we make. How we spend our time is our choice. So these are two truths, but when, so listen, and I want to share something quickly because my testimony is messy. Praise God. It keeps me from being religious and stiff-necked and all that good stuff, right? Cause I, you know, all the Lord has to do is go, look at you. Oh yeah. So I was in a rehab in Northern California, man, again, right? Another one. And I knew I was lost. I knew I needed to be saved from myself. I knew I needed to be saved. And my roommate goes, bro, you need Jesus, brother. And I'm like, well, what do I got to do? Well, we're going to get on our knees and you are going to cry out to him. And you're going to ask him to come into your life. Like, I meant that prayer. I meant it. Save me. Have mercy on me. Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Save me. I meant it. Well, I got out of that rehab and I did my own thing, man. I started making methamphetamine. I had to go to prison. I was definitely not born again. Amen. But that's where predestination comes in. Before the foundation of the world, God has had this in mind. We were his. He knows. He had me the whole time, but I didn't get born again until one day at church. Man, I went to the altar. Whoo! And he filled me with his spirit. I mean, I was weeping. I was crying. I had realized my depravity. He showed me, it was like, and his kindness and his love was so evident. And he filled me with his spirit. Like, it was different. I got up from that altar and I was like, amen, glory. So you see, it changes when being born again is significant, because now you see different. Now, I mean, we still sin, but it's different because I'm not cool with it. I can't just lie anymore. I was really good at it. I can't just steal anymore. And I wasn't so good at that, but it was easy. Oh, that's mine. Justification. It changes. I remember I was walking somewhere and it came to me. I know too much. And I was like, it was the reality. I've gone too far. Like, I'm saved. He filled me with his spirit. I too far gone. I can't ever do what I used to do. I can't hurt people like I used to do that. I can't lie. I can't cheat. I can't steal. And it was just, it wasn't that I regretted it. It was just scary. Cause I'm, you know what I mean? And I say this with love, but I was a satanic, idol worshiping pagan scumbag that got saved by the blood of Jesus. God had grace on a filthy sinner and gave me life. And it was the reality of going, whoa. But my life changed. When he filled me with his spirit and I got born again, my life changed. I would never be the same. And again, I thank you, God, that I have a messy testimony. It hasn't been perfect. There's been ups and downs that are pretty radical. But God has never left me nor forsaken me. And it, just like you, that's his faithfulness. He is faithful even when we're not. That's the goodness of our God. There will be evidence in your life when you're born again. There will be. You'll know it. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, this is Jesus saying, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many will go through it. Many will go through that gate. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only few find it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He also said, no one comes to me lest the Father draw them first. So see that, I love that scripture is so revealing because listen, there's probably people in this room and you are seeking. When I talk about being born again, radically changed, filled with the Spirit of God, you know, him, loving Him and being with Him has become so important, that might seem foreign to you, but you're here. You're here. You're here on purpose, for a purpose. The Lord has drawn you here. And He is faithful. He says in Matthew 18, verses 1 through 3, at the time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We just want to know, or who's going to be the greatest out of us? And this is what Jesus said. He called a little child to Him. And He placed the child among them. And He said, truly I tell you, there is a man. It is so. It is and it shall be so. Unless you change and become like a little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. There is a change that happens. Our identity is I'm a child of God first. Before anything else, I am His child. A child needs to be taught. A child needs to be directed, corrected, loved on. We are His children. A child needs attention. This is where our choices come into play. How often, child, are you spending with the Father? Really spending time with Him. You know, I had one of those weeks this week. Whew. I'm a flooring contractor and I'm a senior pastor at a church. So some weeks collide, and praise God, I really think I'm going full time here pretty soon. Yeah. You guys deserve it. And the church is becoming more and more evident that I need to be here during the week. You know, it is what it is, and I'm very excited about that, but I had one of those weeks and I had to fight for time with Him. Because see, and this is what I realize, is that the do part, the getting the messages ready, the phone calls, the counseling, all that stuff is good, but it is time that I sit at His feet. It's the time I just spend, I love you, Dad. I love you, Father. My strength comes from you. These are my petitions. These are my prayers for the church. These are my prayers for me and my family. These are my prayers for the lost. It's the time. Take time in your life to stop the doing and just sit. And draw from the Father. That's where we get our strength. We get our replenishing. It's where we commune. And it's a relationship, not religion. I hope you go to our Bible studies or our discipleship classes. They're fruitful. But more importantly is your time alone with God in prayer. In your own personal worship. In your own communion. And that's the difference, amen? Amen? Being born again. You know, we can get distracted. We can get busy. We can get all those things. But when we sit at the foot of Jesus, when we sit and we commune with the Father, we got everything that we need. Everything's going to be all right. Regeneration is what I'm talking about. A new heart. It's what Ezekiel was talking about. It's called regeneration. A new heart for God that loves God. That desires God. Now there's a battle between flesh and spirit going on in you. Again, no longer can you, yesterday it was fine, but today it ain't working for me. I can't do it. It convicts me. I want to be close to God, not far from Him. I want to walk in the light because He's allowed me to, not the darkness. I don't want to walk in darkness. So there, being a Christian is more than just merely saying you are one. There needs to be a real change of the heart within, a new birth. So verse 4. Whew, I got to get going. How can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Well, that's ridiculous, Nicodemus. Come on, Nico. But he is interpreting, he's still not there. What Jesus is saying, he's taking literally. It's not even, God hasn't given him the revelation of the scriptures. And Jesus answers him in verse 5 and says, very truly I tell you, amen, amen. It is and shall be so. Man, I tried to remember that. It is and it shall be so. It is and it shall be so. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Now some people think that this is talking about baptism, but I disagree. Many commentators that I agree with, and I just agree with this, is that being born of water means there's a spiritual cleansing that happens. We are cleansed, just like Ezekiel prophesied, I will sprinkle clean water on you. We are cleansed. It's like a double, we are filled with the Spirit, so we are born of the Spirit, and we are born of water, so we have been spiritually cleansed. We are cleansed. You know, the Bible says that out of us will come rivers of living water. This is the water that cleanses our spirit, and the Holy Spirit resides in us. We are filled. We have been born, cleansed by the water and of the Spirit, and filled with the Holy Spirit. No one can enter unless that happens. It means that there are, because he's talking to Nicodemus, and God's drawing him, God's faithful, but he's telling him there's a difference. There's a difference in just coming to church and living with God. Just coming to church and really surrendering your life. Like, Lord, you know what? I wanted to be a rock star. But you, your plans, whatever you have for me, God, yes and amen. And man, I'll tell you what, I'd much rather be your pastor than a rock star. And I know I say that a lot, but I mean it. God's way, way better than my way. I love you too, bro. We give up our life. We crucify our life, our ego, our plans. And go, God, whatever you want, you are my life. Now I live my life to glorify you. I live my life to spread the good news of your son, Jesus Christ, who changed my life forever. I still, we still go, you know, we're in the marketplace, we're in the workplace, we're over here, we're over there, but everywhere we go and everything we say and everything we do glorifies him. And when it doesn't, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. Thank you for your conviction. Continue to keep my heart flesh and sensitive to sin. God, I want sin to destroy me. Don't let, you know, don't, please don't give me over to my own debauchery, right? Continue to convict me so that I may repent and grow and be sanctified by you. Verses 6 and 7, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Sin nature gives birth to sin nature. We were born physically and under the headship of Adam, and then we die on the cross with Jesus when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, and we resurrect in him, and then Jesus is the second Adam, because he's our headship. We are under the second Adam. So we've died in the first Adam, and we are resurrected in the second Adam. Because spirit gives birth to spirit. Only God can give life to a spiritually dead soul. No one, and I mean no one, is good enough to earn it. Verse 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. You can feel the wind. You see the evidence of the wind when a tree branch falls, but you don't know where it's going. You don't know what it, you know, where, you don't know where it came from or where it's going. You just see the evidence of his presence because you can feel and you can see. Same with the Holy Spirit. We can't see him, but we can feel him and we see evidence of his presence. Okay? Now, There is unmistakable evidence when the Holy Spirit shows up. Things happen. I'm a firm believer in, and I know that we are as a church, we're Pentecostal. That God still heals people. He still delivers people from demonic activity. He still saves. He still, all the things that he's done, he still does. But he does it on his time, the way he wants to do it. And I love that, because then no one person gets to go, okay, I'm here, let the healings begin. I'm going to wave my jacket at you. Power! Fire! Listen, it's a slippery slope. Does he heal? Absolutely. There's a brother that's here today that came to my office on Wednesday, and we prayed. And he was delivered from demonic activity. I mean, he was shaking, spitting up, and he left speaking in tongues. God is still alive and well, and this is why he likes to use his people, because we get to take part in the blessing. He gets the glory, but we get to take part in the blessing of being his children. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Yet, he wants to use his kids. He wants to operate in and through of us. Why? Because we get to share in the blessing. If you, man, any of you who've ever led somebody to Jesus, I mean, you've prayed for them and you see their lifetime and genuine conversion from death to life. You walk away going, wow, the God of the universe allowed me to partake in something so precious and beautiful as a life saved. That's amazing. And that's the Holy Spirit at work in his people. Verses 9 and 10. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. And Jesus says, You're Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things? Literally. Listen, this shows us knowledge without knowing God is futile. Knowledge without, he knew what we call the Old Testament. He knew the Torah, but it didn't get from here to here. This is where we hold scripture. We love to say around here, you learn a little and use it a lot. Learn, you know, operate and obey what you do know. Continue to learn because the truth is where the power lies. It is in the eternal word of God. He has left it here for us. He, Jesus Christ, is in every page in this Bible. 66 books of the truth. But I have to let it convict me first. Well, I don't let it. It just does. You see, I don't just read the Bible. This is what I mean. I let it. I don't have that much power. When I read the word or I study the word or I share the word with people, I'm looking at it like a mirror. First, I let it, you know, first I'm open as I read. How does this, this convicts me. Or, this blesses me. This promise is something that I'm going to hold on to. When my mind, you know, starts spinning me out and I start being like, I'm not good enough or I'm scared. I'm in fear of something. I can remember, if he be for me, who could be against me? The God of the universe will never force, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I could, you know, a weapon may be formed, meaning I'm watching it. It's going, this isn't going to be good, but it shall not prosper. See, this is where it rests in the heart. We let it convict, strengthen us first, because knowledge without knowing God, without being born again, without relationally communing with the living God is futile. It's like clanging cymbals, a loud drum, because it will be without love. I'm going to read these two scriptures and then I'm going to close. Romans chapter 1, 18 through 20. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Listen, every human being will be accountable for whether they accept the good news or they reject the good news. So let me sew us all up with this. Romans 10, chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay? So, Scripture's been good to us today. There's a difference between believing and being born again. And it's been clear to us again in Romans that we cry out. We use our mouth to declare, to profess that Jesus is Lord. And believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, because that is the gospel. If Jesus is dead, nothing else matters. He has risen. We celebrate it on Easter. He has risen. He ascended to heaven, and he is the firstborn into the resurrected life. All of us believers in Christ who have been born again, you know, that are his children, will not experience the second death. Death on this earth will be a beautiful transition into glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, because, you know, we're all at different places today. Listen, if the Scriptures have convicted you because the Lord brought you here, you've been drawn by the Father. Jesus has given you the truth that he is the only way to the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is a difference between just believing and being born again. We want to pray with you today. And it's not the prayer that saves you. It's the condition of your heart when you're crying out to God, because he's already got you. Before the foundation of the world, there's that tension again. His sovereignty mixed with 100% of our responsibility. The choice is yours today, friend. And I pray that you make the right one. That you cry out to God today with all of your heart, with all of your might, with all of your soul and strength. Your mind, sorry. And that you cry out to him, and that you be born again today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or, you know, maybe you have and you have questions about being born again, or whether your life has really been a walk with him, communing with him, and you want to rededicate your heart, I want to do that with you today. We as a church want to do that with you. We want you to be filled with this Holy Spirit, born again, changed forever. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, or you want to rededicate your heart, I just want you to raise your hand and we're going to pray today. Amen. I see your hands. I see your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's pray together. Church, will you help us out? Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. So I ask you to come into my heart. Come into my life and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I ask you to cleanse me. And I thank you for your forgiveness. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, church. Hallelujah. Father God, shine your face upon your people as they go. Lord, thank you for your salvation in your Son, for your faithfulness in our lives to sanctify us, to assure us salvation eternally with you. So God, let that strengthen your people this week. Let that give them peace as they do life, and let them shine your beautiful light of love and truth and hope everywhere that they go. And so bless them as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.